Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Stella Blue Coffee is more than just great coffee. It's coffee with a purpose. Introducing We Brew to Rescue, a nationwide campaign using proceeds from our new ready-to-drink cans to help fund 1,000 pet adoptions this year. Every can you crack open helps a real pet find a real home. Simple as that. Made with 100% Colombian coffee, each 11-ounce can delivers smooth, drinkable energy with a boost of protein. Available in espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. Built for mornings, long days, and everything in between. Drink Stella Blue, fuel your day, and help save a pet's life. You can follow our progress in real time throughout the campaign by watching the adoption tracker on our site. Grab yours now at StellaBlueCoffee.com. Amazon and select retailers nationwide.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want a cup of joe with you?
I'm gonna make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore! It's Dunk!
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do!
I'm the Joker, baby!
Welcome to this episode of Lights, Camera, Barstool. Today we got some news for you. We have some streaming picks. We got Robbie Fox and Robbie Gooshman both on that one, because I was in Europe at the time. And we're going to talk a little bit about Ahsoka, and we have a review of Dumb Money. Before we talk about that, let's talk about our first sponsor of the day, Roan Apparel. Men's closets were due for a radical reinvention, and Roan has stepped up to the challenge. Roan's commuter collection is the most comfortable, breathable, and flexible set of products known to man. And here's why. Roan helps you get ready for any occasion with the commuter collection, which offers the most comfortable pants, dress shirts, quarter zips, and polos. You never need to worry about what to wear again when you have the Roan commuter collection. Their comfortable four-way stretch fabric provides breathability and flexibility that leaves you free to enjoy what life throws your way, from your commute to your work to 18 holes of golf. Is that time to feel confident? It is time to feel confident without the hassle. You got wrinkle release technology, and wrinkles disappear as you stretch and wear the products, which is so, so handy. I fucking hate my dryers so much, and I'm so just over the moon to hear that they have wrinkle release here. And with Gold Fusion anti-odor technology, you'll be smelling fresh and clean all day long. And on top of that, Roan is 100% machine washable, so that you can ditch that dry cleaner altogether. Look, that's amazing. I'm a smelly guy. I'm a sweaty guy. If I get on the course, I'm going to bet your ass I'm sweating it off. And also, the whole sort of, again, wrinkle thing is a big problem for me. Can't figure out how to fold it right. Don't know what settings to put it on. Can't figure it out. That's what's great about Roan. Commuter collection can get you through any workday and straight into whatever comes next. Head to roan.com/lights and use promo code lights to save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order when you head to Roan, Roane.com/lights and use code lights. It's time to find your corner office comfort.
All right, Lights, Camera, Barstool, movie news and notes. Final week of September. Jeff D. Lowe, Ken Jack, and assistant coach of the Bengals, Gooch.
They need me. They need me. They're 0-2, and when your team is 0-2, you gotta put the gloves on, get in the film room. Zach Taylor seems like a nice guy. I'm not sure. I'm still unconvinced on whether or not he knows how to coach a football team.
Yeah, now I'm here. Can't relate to being 0-2 anymore.
Congrats to Ken Jack on being engaged now.
Yes, that was. I got engaged in front of my favorite monument, the thing that got destroyed in G.I. Joe Retaliation by an acid rocket while Channing Tatum tried to save it.
That's the only reason Mission people Possible. Still go there, I heard.
Exactly. It would have been that movie saved the tourism of Paris.
Yeah. That does sound like a joke, but Ken Jack did get engaged. Congrats again.
I did get engaged. It was week. Keeping that secret was, I hate keeping secrets. I hate it more than anything. That was rough, but it was a very fun time.
That is like the ultimate life secret too. Like that is the thing that you, well, except I guess you're supposed to like not tell people you're having a kid for a certain while, but like that is like in terms of a personal secret, that is pretty brutal.
Yeah, very few people knew. It was like my mom, and then I had to tell her friends because they were trying to advise her to wear something sporty that day. And like I was like, so I had to text my son and be like, don't fucking do that. I had been wearing like fucking spandex to go get engaged.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, literally, like that was it. It was funny.
Congrats to Ken Jack. Let's get into some movie news. We have a pretty big one off the top. The writer's strike is coming to an end. 146 days, almost a full half year. WGA AMPTP, excuse me, reached a tentative deal. SAG still on strike.
Yes. So
the actor side of things still on strike. Though I'd imagine this is a pretty big domino that'll wrap up. And that's based on nothing. I could be wrong, but I'd assume that that's going to wrap up rather quickly now that this is done. Good. Get back to work. Let's do some shit. Let's get the movies. Things got delayed. Dune getting delayed is a bummer. Like let's get the things working again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it feels like it's been a while, right? It's great. I think they've been the longest so far, right? By a pretty decent margin. DGA was pretty quick.
This was, I think, the longest in history.
Yeah, a very long time. But well, again, the writers are what makes this work. And we're going to see, I'm sure, with some of the programming that comes out over the next 6 months, a year and a half, something like that, some really bad things, shows wise and writing wise. But
oh, yeah. I mean, that's
we're gonna have heroes
par for the course, though. There's always bad things. That's the thing. Yeah. People are going to immediately, our next story, we'll talk about it, but immediately people just blame everything on the writers. And it's like,
yeah.
If it's a dumb project, like a lot of these reboots, remakes, it's not the writers pushing for these for the millionth time.
Studios, man.
Stupid reality shows, shit like that. Right. Like writers don't want to write on that. They want to make their own stuff.
Exactly.
They can get back to work and start doing that.
The dude that has his original idea has been working on for 6 years, and he pitches to a student like, actually, we're going to be spending all of our quarterly budget on the Office reboot. Like that's just what's going to happen.
Or they'll pitch an original idea and they'll be like, how could you tie this into an existing IP?
Exactly. Yeah. It's just how it works. But shout out to the writers. They deserve it.
And also shout out to the people on Twitter who had their whatever. Like this is probably mean, but there were people who were almost using it as clout, pretend like they're not writers. They were just movie fans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were almost using the strike as if they were on strike.
Which yeah, they're on the picket line.
I understand standing in solidarity with them. Like, shout out to the writers. They deserve absolutely more money. And so do the Screen Actors Guild. The people who deserve a lot more money than they're getting for the projects that are making millions. But there's some I'm like, okay, come on.
We did it. It's like, what the fuck? What'd you do?
Also, Jeff, you're not on TikTok, or at least not as much as Ken Jack and I are.
Oh, I know.
Fortunately for you.
The TikTok people, every other clip we'd post, there'd just be three people in the comments how are you talking about this right now? It's like, I'm not on strike. I'm sorry.
Performative.
I got a job.
Yeah. It's like, come on.
It's performance art. Come on, people, dude. It's great.
It is. It's just it was ridiculous. But no, glad that's done. The things, you were starting to, the cracks were really starting to form of Disney's going to lean harder into Monday Night Football on ABC now because there's no writer strike. There's just there's little things here and there that were becoming obvious that they were going to have to resort to some pretty boring tactics if you like watching fictional things. So that is good. Hopefully the Screen Actors Guild is next. But Gooch, you mentioned something that we're going to talk about next is kind of related to that in terms of reboots or old properties. This has been in the works for a long time, ever since Peacock launched, I think 3 or 4 years now. The Office is being rebooted at NBC Peacock with the U.S. Showrunner Greg Daniels returning. Obviously, this is a show that has existed in multiple variations. The U.S. version is based on a short classic British comedy called The Office. But again, it wasn't on very long. It's the British don't like putting things on very well, except for Doctor Who's been on for 900 years.
900 minimum.
The Office, where you've heard Ricky Gervais make the quotes before, talks about, how short and condensed it was and, perfect to the point. The U.S. Office ran long, but they are going to reboot it. There had been talks about who'd be back, who wouldn't be, characters and stuff. I guess they need it. I've seen some videos on YouTube and some breakdowns about how The Office has just completely lost its stronghold in active pop culture because of the move to Peacock off Netflix.
Yep.
Obviously it's still very relevant, but the difference in relevance and social pop of The Office is very different than it was a few years ago on Netflix. And clearly that's a sign that Peacock is not hitting. It's not doing what it needs to be doing.
Yeah. Not a show I think that anyone really wants to be rebooted. I doubt even really many of the fans, except for the ones that the second you're that type of star of a sitcom where you need to then make a podcast about your time doing that show, which there are members of the Office that do.
They're every single one of them.
Yeah. It's they definitely want it happening, but the bigger stars that moved on, obviously, I would assume, want to just leave, let a very well-respected sleeping dog lie. I got a rap as an Office hater, not an Office hater, was not a fan of the people that was...
It's one of the most exhausting franchises to talk about, I think, ever.
It's a very exhausting fan base, especially the Netflix fan base of it versus the original airing fan base. But I already have an early prediction. my early prediction for the Office reboot is that they're going to have an extended, like, they're gonna be like, oh, it's the Office, but we're remote workers or something like that. That's my early prediction for this Office reboot, is that they're gonna have remote, they're gonna have a big tie-in for remote workers versus like in-person office guys. And I also like, why?
I didn't even think about that.
Why would Steve Carell come back to this? I feel like he's moved on to like prestige stuff.
No, there have been some rumors of some certain people coming back. I don't think any of that's like set in stone, but I think you're right. I think it'd be a much more modern day twist, and that's just
that can work. I mean, workplace comedies will always work because it's just relevant no matter the time you're living in. But I don't think this will be good, to be honest. Like without Michael Scott, without Steve Carell, if you don't bring back Krasinski, as much as like people like to shit on Jim, he was one of the reasons that show worked. Rainn Wilson, does he come back?
He'll go back. Oh, I think Rainn Wilson's ass will be there.
Yeah, so Rainn Wilson 6 years
Stanley
ago probably
will come
not.
Back for sure.
Oh yeah,
so
everyone else.
Brian Baumgartner, he'll be there.
BJ Novak is a big like. If you can't get that writing back, like BJ Novak, Mindy Kaling writing back,
them would be back.
No, they're way. I think they're way too big for it now. Yeah. I have to do a streaming comedy. I don't think it'll work. But the discussion around it already is just. Fucking miserable, like hopping in there, like the people, like the big one is you couldn't make this show today. It's like, dude, it was a network comedy. There's like way worse stuff on television. Even now that streaming has blown up, people get away with putting shit out that's just way more aggressive. Mm-hmm. Like South Park is still airing. They just renewed Always Sunny for 2 more years. Fucking yeah, Kissmaker was like very vulgar and was very well received. Like you could still make vulgar stuff. It's just like, I don't know where
I'm doing a rewatch right now. I've mentioned it here and there. Like I'm just a very light rewatch, like here and there, like, well, maybe like at night when I'm winding down. And the early seasons, there's definitely things that I guess you couldn't do. And I solely mean that in the fact that like there's just words you wouldn't say on TV anymore. And like, but I think the subject matter, the things they're like tackling could be there. Now it's just a matter of the people behind the show and if they actually want to do that. And I don't know if they will. That's I think the bigger thing is that will they want to like not push the limits, but like make jokes and talk about things that are maybe like mildly uncomfortable. Like that's what made the original couple seasons of The Office so good. I don't know if they will. It's, like, I don't know if they'll maybe try and.
But even that,
I don't know if I would cater to it
and like be cringy. That's what I would worry about.
I don't think they talk about stuff that's uncomfortable in that way. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like they're like, oh, we got to get into like the society and race here. It's like that was never it. They put you in uncomfortable situations for comedic effect.
Yeah, like, there's a couple examples of like, I don't know if they would do this now, but solely because like I think they would replace it with something else that's maybe more like relevant. I don't know. Like, but I think like the main things in terms of like. Of like what they used to do, and if they still do on TV, they still do, except like there's just a couple words they may not say.
Yeah, then that's the thing. It's like if you can't find the same joke which works operatively exactly the same because they don't say a slur in it, then like that wasn't a funny joke to begin with. You know what I mean? Like that's not what made those jokes funny.
And I'd argue they might be able, depending on where they air this, it sounds like it's going to go straight to Peacock and not NBC because they want to build up that Peacock. Yeah, they want that Peacock. I want that streamer to, you know, take off more than it has. They've struggled so far, but it's going to go to Peacock where you can get away with doing a lot more than you could have done on network television. So
I guess my question more is, will they know that like they don't really have to change anything because it was fine, or are they going to like overcompensate and make it like not corny and cringe? Like, I don't know. Like that'd be my biggest question.
I think they'll still do that same style, same everything, really, because people still watch the show. That's the thing. It's like people act like it's
right.
It's offensive and it's like this outlier comedy, and it just isn't. It's populist and it's one of the most popular things that ever hit television.
Universally.
Yeah. Like, so like I don't see them changing things up. Because it's 2023.
Yeah, this crude, nasty comedy, The Office. My kids watch this show. What are you thinking? Like, it's fucking network, man. It's like, what are you talking about?
So I guess that's coming back. So The Office, more of that happening. Not necessarily a good thing, but also kind of like, all just kind of whatever to me. I think some of the reactions a little over the top. It's like, all right, it's not. They're not redoing.
It's going to ruin the original, Jeff.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, they already, the US version is literally based on what they're doing right now. They're just going to modernize it.
I love all the names.
I don't know if
it'll
work, though. I kind of doubt it's going to work, to be completely honest.
No. Like I said, if you don't have that writing, it just doesn't. Yeah. BJ Novak was a great writer. Really,
really
great.
Good writer.
Yeah.
I feel like they're going to do everything. It's going to be so out of place. You know what I mean? It's going to feel like a lot to me, like a lot of the episodes of the Futurama reboot they did, where it's just like we need to make a COVID joke. We need to make a streaming joke. We need to make a this joke. Like, they're going to try and go through all the everything in the time frame between when The Office ended and now and hit every one of those jokes. And it's going to be
great. The Arrested Development reboot. Just no one, Arrested Development fans just don't even address it.
Yeah,
it
didn't exist.
I still like season four, though. Season four was shot in a weird order because of the availability of that. I think season four, when you complete it, is very good. The rest are not so good. Season four has some stuff that's like very funny, I think. Warner Brothers offering a new sports package on Max, formerly known as HBO Max, 65 NBA regular season games, NBA All-Star Weekend.
Max Sport Package. I saw the fappening. Scherzer and Upton. You know what I'm talking about right here? The Max Sports Package. I just thought of that. I wish I thought about it more for a better delivery.
That was Max? That was... Okay.
Oh, wait, it wasn't. It was Justin Verlander.
Different guy.
Fuck!
Right. Yeah, they were Tigers at one point.
Damn!
Inside the NBA March Madness. 60, which obviously March Madness, Turner, all that, Warner. 60 regular season NHL games, Stanley Cup playoffs, MLB postseason, MLB regular season, and more. I mean, they're basically just making a TV package with like some sports.
Yeah.
That's like a good idea. I mean, it's worked before.
Now, which universe?
We'll be free until March 2024, which is pretty funny because if you read that, it says March Madness, meaning I'd assume they're trying to play it into where like you have to buy this to watch college basketball games, but also like you can also watch college basketball games for, I think, mostly free.
Yeah,
during the tournament, depending on how you sign up,
and then watching Practical Jokers on True TV as well. But my big question is, which universe of Zaslav does this fit into? Because he already has all of his established univrai, with 90 Day Fiance, Game of Thrones, but this doesn't fit into any of those. Is David Zaslav creating a new sports universe?
It definitely goes for like the dudes rock tier. Remember, he's like,
this is part of the dudes
tier. Male skewed.
This is part of the Space Jam universe.
The male skewed fucking universe. Zaslav. It is so funny how universally disliked that man is. Like, just hated across the board.
He needs a defender.
And that's you. You're in a white knight for David Zaslav.
I didn't say me.
He's not gonna fuck you, bro. Just that's what you should do. You got verified, right? Like, pay for it. Yeah, we all do. It's not, I'm not shaming you. Just reply to every like tweet about David Zaslav. Like, actually, he's a great man. Like,
he's a great man. What you're talking about. Start making up stories.
Yeah, just because that guy hired to run CNN plus he fired after 6 months doesn't mean he's a bad guy. He made a mistake. We all make mistakes.
Fucking Zaslav. He's gonna tell people that he's the one who saved the strike too. You know he's.
Oh yeah. Bob Iger, wasn't an idiot, like Zaslav would be eating so much more shit. Like all he had to do is stay out of the way. Mm-hmm. Fucking Iger, man.
Zaslav?
What an idiot.
Full teaser for Percy Jackson series coming to Disney Plus. Premieres December 20th. This is very much not for us. This is definitely for kids. Maybe young teens. But I will say the production value looks very high on this.
You think so?
For a kid's show, yeah.
Okay, yeah, for a kid's show.
Like there's definitely an element of like this seems like something they want and / need to be good, because they want people on this platform. I don't know. I don't know. Do we know how much Percy Jackson resonates with the audience it's intended for right now? Like, is it still
considerably?
It still pops for that audience range.
I'm just going off like the people in our office, because we do have a lot of, you know, Gen Z, like younger Gen Z or middle Gen Z, 20 to 24 year olds. They were talking about it quite a bit when the trailer dropped. But again, it's clearly not made for like older Gen Z or, you know, the 20 to 24 year olds.
Definitely younger. Very, I would see, you know, a level below, right? Like, it's definitely a kid's show.
Agreed. So do kids still read Percy Jackson is my question. Like, is that still a very popular book series with kids? That's the question.
Yeah, I don't know. That's my question.
I haven't heard anything about
my question.
I can't say I've heard much about Percy Jackson other than people saying they wanted this show to be good. You know what I mean? Like, that's basically it. It's people like are roughly close to our age where they're like, oh, I used to love these books. I hope this is good, better, or at least better than the movie. And I'm down for it. I mean, I never read the books, but I love Greek myth stuff when I was younger. Shout out Age of Mythology, one of my favorite games on PC. And anything that will indoctrinate kids into the old school Greek myth lore, I'm down. Do it. They love fucking.
We want pagans.
They love creaming. Zeus would just come down and have a new kid every 5 minutes. It was just, there was a crazy shit going on. Just don't watch Wrath of the Titans when you're done. Or what was the other one with, because they made two, the Liam Neeson. It was Wrath and Clash.
Was it like Wrath of the Gods too?
Wrath and Clash of the Titans was the two. And it's Sam Worthington and like how they got Ralph Fiennes to do that. I have no idea. It was Ralph Fiennes was Hades and Liam Neeson was
probably his kids. That's why he did Harry Potter.
That's fair. Yeah, but that was, I think, a way easier. It was
on Broadway for a few years, I believe. No, 16-week limited run on Broadway. But Percy Jackson, there was a Lightning Thief musical. It started in like 2014 or something, or around 2015. It was in the UK. And
we'll say, I do think Walter Scobell is like that next, like, he's that next big child actor. Like everything he's been in, he's very charismatic for a child actor.
Adam Project, man, he rocked in that.
Yeah, like he's got some chops to him. So that's a good lead. But outside that, also the discussion around this one's going to be obnoxious too, for obvious reasons. But outside that,
right? That's where it's like I always go back to the same thing when we talk about what is for you and what isn't for you. And there's always one that pops to me, and that is the Kim Possible live action thing they made for Disney.
Oh, yeah.
The way people reacted to that was like one of the grossest things I've ever seen on Twitter. It was like, you're a fucking weirdo. Like, people reacted so negatively to it. And like, this is very clearly for 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
It's like, you're 35 years old. Shut the fuck up. Dude. You freak.
Percy Jackson like, returned.
Impossible's like kind of hot as a cartoon. I'm like this is a show for kids after they get home from fourth grade. Fucking weirdos. It was so strange.
Percy Jackson definitely returned at least 15 punts for touchdowns during his collegiate career.
It is a great football name.
It'd be perfect.
Trailer for Old Dads coming out to Netflix.
Hell yeah.
October 20th stars Bill Burr, Bobby Cannavale, Bokeem Woodbine, which every time I see Bokeem Woodbine, I just want to rewatch.
He's a beast. Boardwalk Empire.
First of all, he
Fargo,
was in
Fargo.
Was he in a couple years ago?
I always forget he was in the Spider-Man.
Yeah, he was the fist guy, not Mephisto. He had the lightning. He's fists or
Shocker.
Something. Really?
Right?
How's his name?
You know what it is?
He was a Shocker.
Yeah, he was correct.
Yeah, in the first one. Yeah.
Wait, this is it? Or am I doing this?
Yeah.
Two in the pink, one in the stink.
Yeah,
you could have said yeah, and then Superfinger was this. Right? Okay, I got it right. I think the Superfinger Shocker combo. I hit my girl with that last night.
Then I hit her with a Kool-Aid Man impression. Oh yeah!
So this is a movie directed by Bill Burr, written by Bill Burr as well. He's talked about it a lot recently. Definitely, the trailer is. We'll get to if we want to see it or not. And what we think about it, the trailer is absolutely clearly like things he would say in stand up about being a father.
Yeah.
The trailer is not great, I don't think. I love Bill Burr, but it just seems like one of those things we talked about a lot recently. It's like you can tell when a movie is written for a certain demographic by a certain. This is clearly written for like, I guess, an older crowd. Who can relate to, like, you know, being an older dad, hence Old Dads. But like, there's younger dialogue in this that kind of made me oof.
Yeah.
made me cringe a little bit watching it.
I love Bill Burr, but holy shit. This is like, if someone tried to write Bill Burr jokes, that's what
kind of always says fleek in the first 15 seconds.
Yeah.
I feel like this happens sometimes with bigger comedians where it's just like they just kind of like throw an idea at a wall and they don't expect a studio to say yes, but they're famous and have enough momentum where the studios do say yes and they're just like, oh, what do I do now? You know what I mean? Like they didn't think it would work and it just happened to work out. But I mean, Bill Burr's excellent. I like most of this cast. A lot of good comedic minds too. I mean, even you go down the list, obviously you mentioned Bobby Lee, Natasha Leggero.
He apparently worked pretty hard on like getting this made from what I've read. So like, I mean, I hope it's good. I hope it's better than maybe the trailer shows. Comedies are notorious for that, where it's much better. Sometimes it's much worse than the trailer just because all the good jokes are in the trailer. And sometimes it's much better because the good jokes aren't in there.
I'm Bobby. I'm from Houston, Texas. I love Ivan Rodriguez. You guys hear about these Rangers? That's going to be his
name. What was that movie called? Thunder
Force
was.
That was it, wasn't it? Wasn't he the biggest Seattle fan in Thunder Force?
No, that was a different movie with Melissa McCarthy. That was like. That was where like the Siri takes over or something.
Oh, you're right. It was like no, not Jexy. That was the Adam Devine.
Super intelligence.
Yeah. Oh, just like my favorite guy. It's so stupid.
Hey, baseball. You don't play baseball, Kenny, my guy. My favorite guy, Ken Griffey. Yeah. Kid. You ever see Griffey? Yeah. That was a bad.
I just want that to be his bit. I want him to be like just a diehard like baseball fan of like a different team in every movie. Adrian Beltre. Oh
my God.
Ian Kinsler, this guy can really play.
I don't know. I just I don't think it looks very good. But again, it's a tough thing to really judge. You kind of have to. I don't know. You kind of have to give it a chance because it's tough to tell. But the trailer wasn't very promising. Last thing, this is a big one from Netflix. They clearly spent an ass load of money on this. Squid Game, but like the competition, they're doing the actual Squid Game competition. They're not going to murder contestants, obviously.
That's so lame. That's so soft. That's so soft.
$4.5 million prize, the biggest prize in the history of reality competitions, releases on November 22nd. Mr. Beast already did this, by the way.
I want him to do it again with a bigger prize, just to fuck with Netflix.
Yeah, like I
just do a $5 million prize.
He already did this, and he did it to an unbelievable level too.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it was like one of the most insane production values on a YouTube video I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's incredible. But I mean, I don't know. This seems way too late to be doing this. And also, people said it completely goes against like the whole point of the show, which is very funny, and like the commentary they're trying to make. But I also get like I get why they did it. Like whatever, it makes sense.
I quoted it with that tweet that everyone uses for it, which is so funny. Where it's like, don't make the Torment Nexus my new book, and that tech company's like, we finally made the Torment Nexus. From the famous book, Don't Create the Torment Nexus. It's just what it is. I think this is doubly dumb because, like, obviously way too far gone from Squid Games being, like, a big cultural phenomenon. But, like, also, Mr. Beast just did it. Like, he just did it. People liked it or didn't like it, whatever. Like, I don't see how much more different you could make this where, like, people are really, really just into it. Again.
No.
Part of the reason that people in the Squid Games universe wanted to watch it is people were fucking dying. And like, yes. I don't think anyone here wants anyone on there to die. Nobody, right?
Dude, PC culture these days in 2023.
First they come for The Office. Now they won't kill contestants on Netflix?
Fucked up.
Fuck it. At least break a leg or something. Or no. It's stupid. Just do the same thing and don't call it Squid Games. Like, have a great cash prize. Do obstacle course shit. Just like the last time, and I feel like you still have people invested. But if you just say, hey, we have the biggest cash prize for a reality contestant ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, there's just better options for game shows out there, too. Like, there's other things you could do reality competition-wise. Yeah, exactly. Do the dozen. Come on.
Netflix, that's your next move. Pick up the dozen. If you lose...
Yeah, Ted Sarandos, hit Jeff's line.
If you lose your niche, you get your arms chopped off. If you miss your phone, a friend, we'll work out a full list of punishments for him.
Frank the Tank loses a limb because Nick can't think of the Pokemon.
This is very morbid. That's this not is be very morbid, limb. But would it be the most watched thing ever if they were like, yeah, someone dies?
Yes, it would. It would.
If you said that, yeah, people would be tuning in. It'd be for a multitude of reasons, but people would be, they'd be clued up. They'd be ready to go.
It would absolutely be it'd be the most watched thing. Yeah, again, very morbid, not happening, but it's a very funny, like, imagine.
Captain Khan's really on the dozen games. Like,
the fuck they needed to make.
Fucking White Sox Dave saying Fred McGriff on the dozen games, or whatever.
That's it. That's it for news.
Wait. Taylor Swift went to the Chiefs game.
That's true.
She didn't go to the Chiefs game.
Famous Eagles fan, Taylor Swift. Damn shame. She had to go to the
Chiefs. We just
the
have Chiefs. To get our takeoff there.
We do have to get our takeoff. Yeah.
Everybody's just... Everybody.
Amsterdam actress Taylor Swift.
Yes. There we go.
Smashed by car.
Travis Kelce. Has he been in any movies?
That's coming if he hasn't already.
Was it kind of fucked up in Amsterdam for them to like trans... Or let's say... we'll say it... what do you call it? Whitewashing to cast Taylor Swift as Liz Gonzalez in that movie? Yeah, Jeff, remember she got smashed by the car in Amsterdam.
I'll say this: Taylor Swift did not go flying.
No. We went right under the wheels. But no, that was who cares? Popular guy dates popular girl. The discourse around it, people like Taylor Swift fans being, oh, I don't want him to date him, or Chiefs fans being like, oh, it's bad luck. Like, who cares? Hawkeye dates hot girl.
Yes, congrats to them on either being a couple or being friends. That's it. For Gooch and Kenjek, I'm Jeff Yellow. Make sure to like and subscribe. Like the video if you can. Subscribe to the channel, please. Would help us out a ton. That's it. We'll talk to you next time.
All right. Before we get into our streaming picks of the week, let's hear from Ibotta.
All right, before we talk about that, let's talk about Ibotta. It's football season, so that means pizza, wings, and maybe even some buffalo chicken dip. Whatever you prefer at the tailgate, go out and get all that with cash back on every purchase with Ibotta. They give you cash back on hundreds of grocery items from produce to personal care, pantry goods, so that you can make sure that you're beating inflation no matter what you're purchasing. Either link your loyalty card or upload your receipt after you shop to get your cash back. It is that easy. The average Ibotta user earns up to $100 a year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip. Or you can use your cash back to buy that flight you've been eyeing, that game you've been dying to go to, or the fancy dinner that you've been craving. Other apps give you points that don't amount to much. With Ibotta, you get real cash back so that you can cash out to your bank account, PayPal, or gift cards. You can earn cash back on hundreds of online brands and retailers, too, when you start with Ibotta, including Lowe's, Macy's, Sephora, Best Buy, and more. Download the Ibotta app today and use code LIGHTS to start earning real cash back. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app and use code LIGHTS. That's Ibotta at the Google Play or App Store and use code LIGHTS.
All right, Lights, Camera, Barstool movie picks of the week. Our recommendations for what to stream, what to watch. We're dropping it down to 3. 5 was a lot. We're going to run out of movies.
Who's watching 15 movies in one weekend?
That's too much.
So we know you're watching 9. Guest joining us is Robbie Fox. Shout out My Mom's Basement. Make sure to like, subscribe on their channels. Download wherever podcast can be found. 3 streaming picks each. Let's get right into it. We'll tell you where you can go find and watch them and what we rated them. My first pick, I'm going Denis Villeneuve. I'm going Prisoners. Fantastic movie. Streaming on Netflix. Anytime a director that big, anytime someone who can make just gold with everything they touch, you need to go stream it. Great cast. A little bit of a theme in my first two movies, by the way, which I probably should have stuck to the entire theme like for all three, but no, I just did it for the first two. Prisoners is great. Some people think it's their favorite of his lot.
Is your next movie Shawshank?
No. Prison movies? No, good guess. Hugh Jackman, Jake Gyllenhaal, Viola Davis. Just, it looks incredible, sounds incredible, like everything he does. Roger Deakins, cinematographer. If you've not seen that, and if you're not like a huge Villeneuve guy, because his stuff is not like crazy successful, right? Like, it's not crazy that someone said, I haven't seen all of Denis Villeneuve's movie. I think Prisoners may be down there. A lot of people love it. It is fucking incredible. Fantastic movie. It's on Netflix. When there's this good's on Netflix, it's like a must watch for me. So 94 out of 100, that's my rating.
I would also say a lot of people who haven't seen it, you likely have seen like clips of it if you have a TikTok and you get fed movie clips, because that is like one of the most popular movies to pull clips from and be like, oh, this is what real acting looks like. Because Hugh Jackman,
yeah,
Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal are just off the rails the whole movie.
Yep. Yep. That's my pick on Netflix. Gooch.
All right. I'm going to go with we got Halloween coming around right around the corner. My favorite horror movie of all time. I won't hear any disagreements. Scream on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, you are. Robbie, did you know he's a big Scream head?
I don't know if I knew that, but I think it was the first movie on your movie thread this year, right?
It was.
So I see that pop up pretty often, yeah.
Yeah, Scream is, just fantastic. It's so not only funny, scary, kind of scary. It's really not too scary. So it's actually a really good spot to start if you're like, I don't really like horror movies. Great spot to start. But it's really fucking smart. It's so smart.
Yeah.
Just perfectly deconstructs like what horror was in the 80s leading up into the early 90s. And really redefine the genre. Like, I don't think anybody's been able to recapture that or redo that. There's been smart horror movies, but nothing that can like deconstruct the genre the way Scream, the first Scream did. Fantastic.
There really is nothing quite like a smart, simple horror premise or thrill, like Get Out, Scream, just like the original big, like the Halloween, like something so simple and easy to put together, but then also smart. And also twists and turns and things that keep you on the edge of your seat. Yeah, Scream is awesome. A lot of fucking sequels, but it is an awesome.
A lot of sequels, but I think it has a couple of good sequels, to be honest. I think Scream 2 is pretty good.
I think most of them are good.
Yeah, I think the last two were pretty good, to be honest.
The only one I really don't like is the third, the one where they go to Hollywood.
Yeah.
That one's
Jay and Silent Bob make a cameo.
Yeah. Not great.
I also made my list with Halloween in mind, actually. I was like looking down the streaming list and I was like, hey, Halloween's around the corner. My first one is on Netflix. It's called The Rental. Have you guys seen The Rental?
No.
It's a Dave Franco, Alison Brie movie. I think Dave Franco might have written or directed it. I discovered it this year. It's something that had never even come across my radar. I thought it was pretty good. It's not mind-blowing, but it's a super creepy movie about a bunch of friends that get an Airbnb, and the Airbnb owner seems to be a little off, and everyone is kind of watching each other around this owner. It's kind of one of those movies that unravels as you get into it. Very worth a watch. It's on Netflix.
See, I did not realize it's on there, but Jeremy Allen White in that movie.
That's right. Cousin.
We interviewed her, I believe, around the time this came out or had been out already. And I think we talked with her about it very briefly. I totally forgot about The Rental.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Jeff, do you remember what superhero she said that she wanted to play?
I forget.
Squirrel Girl.
That was Anna Kendrick.
It might have been Anakin. No, I think it was Alison Brie who said Squirrel Girl.
Okay.
She said right someone. Yeah. I think you're right.
That's a good pick. That's a really good deep cut there. Continuing my theme here, Prisoners, Source Code, another Jake Gyllenhaal movie.
Get the fuck out of here. That's my next pick.
All right. Well, so we'll combo talk about it.
That's crazy. That's
I gave it an 89 out of 100. Source Code is awesome. It's just an awesome sci-fi kind of out there, crazy concept thriller. Really good cast. Like, also, like, I don't want to say complicated, but also, like, a lot going on, but very simple, easy to follow, I think, too, for, like, what it's trying to do. Yeah, I love it. Give me some of your thoughts.
I love Gyllenhaal. He's been one of my favorites forever. And this was one of the first movies that I saw that made me go like, oh, this guy's one of my favorite actors.
Yeah.
Simple concept, but he completely carries the movie, knocks it out of the park. And it's one of those like mostly one location movies that, like you said, is kind of complex. Like the more you get into it. Awesome. Awesome movie. I love Source Code.
He's on a train for the most of you, right? Yeah.
He's on a train and he has to stop a bomb on that train from going off. And it's like he respawns every time he fails.
Okay, yeah, now I remember this. Yeah.
It's great.
That does rule.
Yes. It's if you like The Edge of Tomorrow's of the Worlds and like all that stuff. It's just there's so many just like movies like that are just fucking awesome, but some of them get convoluted and stupid. This never does. Like this it never does.
And it doesn't get tired either. Like you do the Groundhog Day thing or the Happy Death Day thing. The seventh time they wake up that morning, you're like, all right, no, I get it. I get the whole concept. This keeps it moving. The whole movie, it's a pretty short movie too. I think it's like maybe 90 minutes or something. So it really like moves.
Easy, easy suggestion on Source Code. It's both of our picks. All right, Gucci, your second.
I can't believe that. That's crazy.
My second pick just hit streaming last week. I would have put it in my streaming picks last week if I'd known that it was going to be on streaming. Theater Camp. I think it's the funniest movie this year. I think it's the funniest movie.
Did not know that was streaming.
Yeah, it's on Hulu right now, and it's fucking so good. So, so good. And if you think – I'm sure most people listening are going to be like, a movie about theater kids, really? Like, this is what you're suggesting? It's not what you think. Like, it makes fun of theater kids pretty much the whole time while also being very endearing. Jimmy Tatro in there is just the perfect himbo. Molly Gordon is fantastic, who you'd also recognize from The Bear. Winning Time, other things you probably recognize her from. Ayo Edebiri just continuing her 2023 run, where I guess she's going to be in every movie this year. Yeah. It's really, really good. It's one of those comedies too that it's happy. You know, you leave the theater happy, which for the past decade, I feel like when people make comedies, they feel like you need to leave sad for some reason.
Yeah.
This one you leave on a very happy note and just leaves you feeling good. And I love movies like that.
Where would you have it on your rankings for the year?
I think it's top five right now.
I think for me it definitely lands 10. It's awesome.
I got to check it out. I saw your tweet about it maybe yesterday or the day before, and I mentioned it to my girlfriend immediately. Like, hey, I think we have a new comedy to watch, like, which is pretty rare to have a new streaming comedy. Like,
this year has been weird because we went so many years where it's like you get maybe one comedy, like true comedy a year. There's been like five this year that have been very throwback to like the 2000s, and it's I don't know where it's come from, but I love it.
Molly Gordon also in the Melissa McCarthy movie, My Mom Goes to College.
What was that movie called? What's it called? Oh my God, it's going to bother me.
Hold on, Melissa McCarthy, Molly Gordon. What's the name of that movie?
It had the worst trailers. God, Melissa McCarthy, I'm so happy.
Life of the Party.
That's what it is. Melissa McCarthy had that 5-year run where she was just like, I'm going to star in every bad movie you give me.
And then she snuck Spy in there and was like, oh, yeah, this is okay.
I like the scene in Spy where they're getting all the gadgets always makes me laugh.
Yeah, Spy's pretty good.
I like Thunder Force.
Oh. So bad, dude. That reminds
Identity
me of
Theft. Was that the name of that one too? Identity Theft was bad. Oh, Bateman.
Jesus. Forgot. Ugh.
Tammy?
Ugh. Yep. You can't say those. You can't say Melissa McCarthy did not bring up Tammy. It has to come up.
Yeah.
Fucking Tammy. I hate that I can quote that movie based off the trailer.
I just remember when she got behind the fast food counter.
Like, it's like I will have apple pie, something like that. It's like, oh.
Oh my God.
My buddy who lives in New York, his dad, like he was like they he lives in his like they have a sorry, this thing keeps falling over here. They have a shore house down the Jersey Shore, so it's like a small town, it's like Stone Harbor. They have this little theater, shows like 3 or 4 movies. I'll never forget when Tammy came out. For some reason, like the week leading up to us going down there, he like went to Tammy. Like he's like, there's only like 3 movies playing right now. He's like, he went and saw, he told us like, don't go see Tammy. And it's like, I don't think he needed that, but he's like, it's, he goes, I think he walked. I was like, it's the worst fucking movie ever. He's like, do not see Tammy. I was like, really? All right. Oh my God. All right. Last pick for me. I broke theme, not going Jake Gyllenhaal, but I am, since it's almost the fall, or excuse me, it is kind of the fall.
Mm.
It's turning into October. Cabin in the Woods on Max.
Oh, hell yeah.
88 of 100. Most notable person in the movie you recognize, Chris Hemsworth.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Bradley Whitford, some other people. I don't want to spoil it. Very unique, funny horror twist. If you've never seen it, I don't even want to really say what happens. But it is a horror comedy, but the horror is really good and the comedy is really funny and it's wacky and it's out there. It's unique. It's just, it's one of those that comes along every once in a while in that space. You're like, damn, that's like really fucking smart. And like, I like Happy Death Day for some stuff like that. Like it's along those lines of being very different. And Cabin in the Woods is like, but I would say is like even higher than like, I gave it an 88. Like I think it's a fucking awesome movie. So Cabin in the Woods streaming on Max, big suggestion, especially as Halloween rolls around here.
I almost brought this up when you said like horror movies have very much failed to like do the Scream thing where you make it smart and meta. But like Cabin in the Woods is the one that kind of nails it, I think.
That is a great example of one that does it. Yeah. Very slept on.
Great movie.
Yeah. You want to go?
Sure. I didn't really go with Halloween theme with Source Code, but my third one, I kind of go back to the horror theme. One of my favorites that I actually drafted on the Dog Walk horror movie draft is Green Room, an A24 movie. It's on Max, where Patrick Stewart gets to show a different side of him that you've never seen. And it's kind of punk rock. It's got like it's one of those vibes movies for me where it's like the vibe is scary and terrifying the whole time, but it's got a vibe about it. And the vibe is escape neo-Nazis.
I remember Tarantino called that like whenever the year it came out, that was his number one movie of the year.
Really?
It's one of the best movies that I rated the year it came out as well.
That makes me like it even more that Tarantino's a big fan. But yeah, Green Room is awesome. And it's one of those movies where like the second shit starts to hit the fan, it hits hard. And you're like, oh my God, these characters are fucked.
Crazy fucking movie. That's one of those ones where for some reason wouldn't think about it. And then you see it's going to be like, oh shit, I gotta watch. Green Room was so, I expected it to be terrible.
Yeah. No, it's great.
It's fucking excellent.
All right, then I'll round things off with a classic. I'm sure a lot of people have seen it, but if you haven't, check it out. Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Great 80s teen comedy. Kind of set the stage for a lot of teen comedies to come after it. Cameron Crowe written. Sean Penn as the iconic Spicoli. It's just, it's a good vibes movie, just like you were just talking about. you throw it on, you really don't have to tune in for the plot at all. Yeah. For the most part, it's a lot of bits strung together, but it works well. Very, very entertaining. A movie I grew up on because my parents love that movie, but great movie. Yeah.
That's a good pick. Let's rattle off our picks and where they're from. I'll go Prisoners on Netflix, Source Code on Max, and Cabin in the Woods on Max. Robbie.
So I've got Source Code on Max, The Rental on Netflix, and Green Room on Max.
I've got Scream on Paramount Plus, Theater Camp on Hulu, and Fast Times at Ridgemont High on Netflix.
Love it. Make sure to subscribe here on, if you're watching on YouTube, like the video. There you go. Those are the 9 movies you have to watch this weekend. It's required viewing. You can't come back and watch any more videos or listen to it. You must complete all 9.
Eight. Source Code.
That's true. It is 8. It will make it easy for you this week.
Yeah.
Dude, can you come out this weekend? No, I got to watch these fucking movies so I can listen
to my pods. No, I got to watch Cabin in the Woods, bro. I haven't finished it yet. That's it. Robbie, thanks for joining us. For Gooch, I'm Jeff D'Lo. We'll talk to you next time.
All right. Before we get into our reaction to the incredible, maybe not incredible, the most recent episode of Ahsoka, that would be episode 6. Let's hear from Aura.
All right, before we get to that, let's talk about Aura. Have you ever searched your name on a search engine? If not, you might be surprised by the amount of personal information that is available online. Your full legal name, email, home address, phone numbers, and more can be easily found. This isn't just true for you, but also for your friends and family. We're thrilled to partner with Aura. Aura is an all-in-one safety solution for online that helps you protect you and your family from identity theft, financial fraud, and online threats before they can happen. With Aura, you can rest easy knowing that someone is looking out for you. The app scans the dark web to look for email address, passwords, social security numbers, and other sensitive information. And if anything is found, you get an alert in real time. They offer a suite of tools to protect you and your loved ones, including real-time alerts on suspicious credit activity, computer virus protection, parental controls, a VPN, and a password manager. It's a comprehensive online safety solution that provides almost every tool you will ever need all in one place. Aura also helps reduce annoying robocalls, telemarketers, and junk mail by sending takedown requests on your behalf regularly. For a limited time, Aura is offering our listeners a 14-day trial plus a check of your data to see if you have personal information that's been leaked online, all for free when you visit aura.com/LCB. That's aura.com/LCB.
All right, lights, camera, barstool, talking Ahsoka. The Star Wars series on Disney Plus just dropped their 6th episode, and it's just full steam ahead at this point. Jeff D. Lowe, alongside Gooch, and our guest, check out My Mom's Basement, where they do even more in-depth breakdowns of Ahsoka, Star Wars, and much more. Bob Fox, what's going on?
Not much. I don't know if we should hype My Mom's Basement up to like more insightful, because we did this before, and the big debate was like, do Jedi use lightsabers to light bongs ever? And like, what do Jedi smell like? I don't know if insightful is the word for My Mom's Basement, but
it's more, you it's a longer breakdown.
A much longer episode, I guess.
I wouldn't even think to ask the question, but now I want to know the answer.
We said definitely.
Yeah.
And Jedi, we were thinking, what do Jedi smell like? Probably hippies is the answer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dirt.
I think Jedi smell dirty.
Yeah.
Talk about Ezra Bridger. That man's got a stink.
Yeah.
If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to hit the like button on the video and subscribe to the channel. It would help us out a bunch, but let's get right into it. Spoilers right off the top. Did anyone not like it? That's the first question.
I loved it. I thought it was great. I didn't think it was as good as the last 2 weeks, but I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was definitely more setup, but yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, it's very much not Ahsoka based. She's in the beginning of the episode, but the big thing is it's Thrawn. After however many years since Heir to the Empire came out, you know, Timothy Zahn, the guy who brought Grand Admiral Thrawn into the Star Wars lore in the universe, then the books were called not canon, and then they were brought in by Dave Filoni when they made Rebels, which is what this show is basically a continuation of. We see the big blue man himself for the first time. It's my favorite Star Wars character ever. I love the book throwing up. Thrawn. The idea of the extended Star Wars universe beyond Return of the Jedi was amazing. Those books were the second trilogy for years for fans, and some still view them as such. And Thrawn is just a fucking badass character. He looked great. I was fired up. That was like my favorite Kenner action figure I ever had. The expanded universe collection. It was as cool as a Star Wars moment as it's been for me in a long time.
Oh yeah, no, it was amazing. I was telling Robbie before we started recording, Because Clem, I was like, what did Clem think? Because Clem didn't watch the animated shows, which I'm sure most people watching this probably didn't watch it either. They probably know who Thrawn is by at this point, but still, they don't really know anything. Thrawn, in my opinion, blew my expectations out of the water. Like Lars Mikkelsen coming into the role, you kind of don't know what to expect taking it from
For those who don't know, same guy who voiced him in Rebels, so like very seamless.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they did with Bo-Katan, Katie Sackhoff coming over from Clone Wars. But yeah, no, he just like her knocked it out of the park. I thought he stepped right into that role. He looked menacing. He looked so in control, like conniving, like terrifying, like sets up a great villain. And the rest of the episode, pretty good, but that was like the creme de la creme, like blew me out of the water.
I like that we got a lot of Thrawn in this episode too. I was almost afraid that he was just going to like appear at the very end and we were going to see him and we weren't going to get a lot of dialogue. I feel like they made a mistake hyping up Kang as much as they hyped him up in the MCU. And then he did not quite live up to the hype that was put before, you know, he made his first appearance. Thrawn, I felt the opposite with. I was like, oh, this is like, he's already feeling worth the weight of the way everyone is talking about him in this show. And I like that we got three or four like pretty decent sized scenes of him in this episode.
Yeah, he wants to return to the main Star Wars galaxy. They're in another galaxy. He lets Sabine find Ezra. He doesn't care about Baylan, doesn't care about the, you know, I guess they're, well, they're not Sith, but they're just like.
They're somewhere in between. They're in-betweeners.
Yeah, they're the in-betweeners. They're bad Jedi. Doesn't care about them whatsoever.
Something
told Morgan Elsbeth that basically like, I don't give a fuck about them. Like that is the, his awesome ship, the Chimera that with like the tattoo, like paint job on the bottom.
And it's messed up too. It's like battle damaged Chimera. Yeah, it's got some like gold in it. I love all, that's the other thing. His army troopers with gold plating. Oh my God. That was, they looked as cool as anything in this show.
Like the custom stormtrooper again, if you don't know Thrawn, the idea of Thrawn is that he is this unbelievably maniacal, pointed, like the smartest war general imaginable in the Star Wars universe. And he is ruthless and he's 100 steps ahead everyone else. And that you literally have to explode him to another galaxy to get rid of him. Like that is what Ezra had. Like that is the only way to get rid of Thrawn. So I think like those comments about like letting Sabine go find Ezra, the comments about like, I don't give a shit about Baylan and them. Like those are the things that I expect. So that was awesome. It was just
my favorite. Cool. My favorite line he had in this episode is when I think Sabine is, he mentions like your friend Ezra may be dead. And Sabine's like, hey, if you're alive, I've got my faith in him being alive as well. And he just like steps in and real chilling delivers this line where he's like, you gambled the fate of your galaxy on that belief and just lets her go. And that was like, oh, that's the Thrawn I know and love right there. That's right.
He's saying like, he's basically saying like I'm going to conquer everything.
Yeah.
All because of your hunch of your friend. Like that is like hilarious. Like it's so evil and it's perfect. Like they need, this is the type of evil that Star Wars needs. And I hope he's just around for a while now. And like this part of the timeline in between Jedi and the Force Awakens. Other cool things to point out, the Purgles in hyperspace, the big space whales. I like how it's a different look. It's not like the exact hyperspace look we see. They're the pioneers. They're the ones who created it anyway, you know?
That was awesome. I even liked when the Eye of Sion came out of hyperspace. There was like lightning and like cool effects coming out of it. That was another thing where like visually just having a little difference like that goes a long way.
Dude, a nice touch. And I don't know if this is Filoni or if this was canon or like already thought up before. The planetary rings around Dathomir just being the space whale bones. That's just fucking metal. That is so like sci-fi cool ass shit. Like I love that.
It's essentially the start of the galaxy, right? Like it's the start of everything. It's the start of Star Wars, Peridia, which is it's the ancient homeworld of the Night Sisters. We find out the Dathomiri, who the Night Sisters are still alive. They're still there. Morgan Elsbeth obviously connected to them. Night Sisters, very, very prominent in Star Wars. The Clone Wars and Rebels, the animated series, a lot to do with Darth Maul and his resurrection, stuff like that. They use magic, very adjacent to the Force, and it seems like they're going to be used against Ahsoka too. Speaking of things connected with like the Night Sisters and that planet, I did think Morgan Elsbeth. I like how kind of evil she is. And talking about other villains, Balin, he's got shit on his radar. He said, speaking of the planet again, he said he like senses there's like something else in that planet. Like there's a greater purpose for Balin to be there, basically. Like it seems like he almost doesn't even really care about Thrawn whatsoever. Like he's just there and now he has his own thing, right?
I think he's one of the best characters in this show.
Oh yeah.
I'm also like fascinated in what he wants with that planet. Does he want to get so far away from the Empire and start his own, like, not necessarily the Jedi, because he seems like he's not, you know, fully in on that, but a new order in that way. He seems like he truly cares about Shin, his apprentice, and like what the next generation will bring. The other thing, though, when he said he senses something like stirring in the planet, I thought, is Thrawn like at war with something at that planet? Because he said his forces are dwindling or whatever.
Too. Yeah, he said they're depleted, right?
Yeah.
He's trying to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I don't care what the fuck she's doing over, like, Sabine and your little mercenaries. Like, I don't care what they're doing. We're getting the fuck out of here.
Like, I think there's something, like, almost like Loki when they went to that, like, no man's land and there was the Aliath like smoke monster. Like, is there something fucking crazy like that on this planet? I don't know.
It does feel like he, like, there's an actual, not like just a political power there, like, I guess, which is what Shin was kind of like suggesting. There's an actual like power there that he wants to tap into and, you know, ascend above the rest of the Empire, ascend above everybody else. I also feel like he's flip-flopping a little bit. I see the light in him.
Oh, definitely.
Like, he does not feel like he is like over the whole Jedi thing.
But what about Shin? Like, I feel like he might turn at some point and turn good, and Shin might be like, fuck that, we ain't good.
Yeah, because she doesn't really vibe with his like his style. His like, she's very skeptical of it. Where again, he's very, very firmly against the Jedi, but also pretty firmly not like Sith, like at all. Like, he doesn't view that as like the positive at all.
Yeah. He's great too. I can't believe that actor passed away. It's like such a shame because the way he plays that role, I've described it all series as almost like a dark Qui-Gon. I always say Qui-Gon. Qui-Gon. It's hard to say.
I wonder if he's going to be recast.
I don't even know if he's going to survive the season. Like, I could see him being a character.
But it does feel like a character that is going to survive, right?
Yeah.
It feels like he is set up for something more with what he's looking. He's either going to die looking for this thing on this planet, or he's going to be a long-term player.
Yeah.
Yeah, no idea how they're going to handle that. Speaking of things on that planet, again, I give you the term speaking of things, but you mentioned there's something else there. Well, there are two things there. Bandits, which had a lot of Tusken Raider vibes then, which I thought was very cool. A good little nod to another galaxy. But also, they're called Noti. They're little, like, turtle-like men.
I love them. Honestly, they were getting their fits off. They had the amazing, like,
fits killed.
The first one was like Han Solo.
Yes, they had the vest, the collared shirt, just almost
like fucking Bilbo Baggins.
They're basically the rock people from Frozen, right? Like, when they take Anna to the rock people and they're like, they knock on the rock, they pop rocker. Up.
Might be a little bit.
I love these people. They're like rock turtle Ewoks.
They were adorable. When the first one popped up and then it like kept popping back down, like it couldn't be seen, like a little child. That was hilarious.
Exhausting lifestyle, though. They were like cleaning and fixing things and like moving their antennas, and then immediately Ezra's like, we got to go.
Yeah.
We got to.
Which another
see,
reason,
we don't see much of Ezra.
The raiders that they have to leave from, or is it something on the planet that they're like, we constantly have to move around?
That could be connected. You're right. Could be connected with Thrawn and his concern why, you know, force have been depleted. Yeah, it's so funny. The last thing I want to mention is incredibly meta opening to the show. Ahsoka's not in it very much, which I like that they're kind of using the space travel in like the right way. I think, Robbie, you and I talked about this morning, like it wasn't fully Ahsoka. It felt like kind of an offshoot episode, but she wasn't in the beginning. And a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away was literally uttered in the show.
It was awesome. That was great. And the fact that he said like, oh yeah, I used to tell these stories to the old Jedi Temple, like they come in three parts or whatever, like they come in trilogies. Yeah. All right, Hu Yang, I see what you're saying there. I get it.
Yeah, Hu Yang, he just straight up, like when he said it, it's like part one's my, as you say, like part one's my favorite or something like that.
I think he might have said something like that, yeah.
Because, and then like, I thought he wasn't going to tell it at all. He's like, you want
Ahsoka
me to
like part one, like, I think. And Filoni obviously created Ahsoka. Filoni loves Phantom Menace. He's talked about it many times. I don't know if that's a nod to that. It is pretty funny. It was
amazing. I think maybe a hot take prediction. I think Hu Yang's a goner in the next two episodes.
I could see it.
I think Thrawn's going to kill him, and he's going to be almost the Agent Coulson that this team rallies around.
What were in the things being pushed around by the Night Troopers, Thrawn's troopers?
I don't know, but they look like coffins, didn't they?
They did look like coffins.
And people are saying, are the Thrawn troopers that they're calling Night Troopers possibly reanimated soldiers by the Night Sisters? Because they have, like, their armor's all messed up, and it's kind of like battle-damaged armor. And then they have red wraps all around it, Night Sister style wraps.
And of course, we've seen already one of which we thought was an Inquisitor was really just reanimated by the Night Sisters in this series already. So
exactly, okay. I think it'd be cool instead of just slapping a new coat of paint on these stormtroopers is like make them zombies.
We get zombies in Star Wars now.
Fuck yeah!
Holy shit!
There's an old zombies stormtrooper book, I believe.
Yeah, they like discover an old. Like destroyed Star Destroyer or something like that.
Pretty cool predictions for the next episode. I agree. We got more Thrawn than I thought it'd be very little Thrawn. It's gonna be probably a Thrawn heavy episode, and clearly it's gonna be a clash between them and Ahsoka. It's the penultimate episode, I believe, correct?
Yeah, it is.
So there's gonna be a bit of a clash. The penultimate has typically been pretty big in these series. So any predictions?
We haven't seen footage from the final two either, I think. I'm pretty sure all of the trailer footage has been run through at this point.
I did see that. I saw that on the Star Wars Reddit. They showed unused trailer audio and footage. There's a couple things from Ahsoka that people assume have been cut completely. They were meaningless. And there's one dialogue from Thrawn, which sounded big. But yeah, I think we've seen everything.
Yeah. So that I love that. I love the fact that they're keeping it under wraps. I think next week you got to go for the Empire/Infinity War vibe. And you got to show Thrawn as menacing as you've been building him up as. I think he's got to kill.
You know what, actually, there is one scene of him in like the main cockpit of like the ring.
Oh yeah.
Like the gold chamber. That's the thing with it. I agree. I think you see him like start to take power, because the rumors, this is maybe a little spoilery, but the rumors have been that this is like the Empire of the Mandalorian universe, where it is like, it isn't going to be a negative ending. It's not going to be all of, like, fun and games for our heroes at the end.
I want to see some death. I want to see if someone kills some people.
Yeah, no, I think next episode, like everything, like our questions are revealed next episode. I think whatever's going on with these Night Troopers gets revealed, whatever's in the coffins or whatever you want to call them, revealed. Ahsoka probably arrives, and then they kind of start this war of saving Ezra, of stopping Thrawn, all next episode, and that'll leak into the next one. And I think they probably succeed but lose at the same time, you know, set up the rest of the way. For the Mando universe or the Filoni verse, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, since episode three, this says through three episodes, I was kind of like, all right, what are we doing here? Is this just going to be extended Rebels? But since episode three, it's really fucking turned a corner, and it's been pedal to the metal.
Much like Andor. Andor's first three were probably the slowest first three. But I think after Ahsoka, if they nail the landing, we'll look back at this season much like we look back at Andor and like, holy shit, that was a really good complete work.
Yeah.
I hope we get more Anakin at some point in the next two episodes too. I'm not asking for a lot.
I think there's been some Anakin audio that we haven't seen from the trailer. I think the trailers, though, we've seen everything. I think some audio we haven't seen. So I think we do get Hayden again.
Just a little, even if it's just his voice, even if it's a use the force Luke type deal, like I think that'd be cool.
That is it. We'll be back next week to chat and get ready to wrap up this first season. Robbie, thanks for joining us.
Of course.
For Gooch, I'm Jeff D. Lowe. It's been our Ahsoka recap. Make sure to like and subscribe. We'll talk to you next time.
Before we get into our review of Dumb Money, let's hear from our friends at BetterHelp.
Lights, Camera, Barstool is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you ever find that you're just trying to fall asleep and your brain just won't stop talking? Do your thoughts start racing right before bed or at other inopportune moments? As it turns out, one way to make those thoughts just go away is just talk them through. Therapy gives you a place to do that, and you get all your negative thought cycles out and find some mental and emotional peace. Look, therapy is amazing. We talk about every time we do a BetterHelp ad. I use therapy. I used it and used BetterHelp over the course of COVID when I couldn't go see my doctor in person. And if I had to say, if you're thinking of using starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched up with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Again, super easy. If you don't want to be in person, you don't have to be, and make it as easy on you as could possibly be. Get a break from your thoughts with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/lights and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lights.
All right, movie review time here on Lights, Camera, Barstool, talking Dumb Money. the GameStop movie, I guess we'll call it, the GameStop stock trading Robin Hood movie. Jeff D. Lowe, Ken Jack,
yo,
Gooch, make sure on YouTube you subscribe to the channel. Always a big help for us. And like the video as well. Leave a comment below what you thought about the movie Dumb Money, starring Paul Dano, a.k.a. the Riddler, among many other things. In the lead role is Keith Gill, Shailene Woodley, Seth Rogen, Pete Davidson, Sebastian Stan, America Ferrara, Dane DeHaan in a very funny role, by the way, with like a rat tail ponytail. Mm. Nick Offerman, Vincent D'Onofrio, Anthony Ramos, a bunch of other people that you may recognize, smaller cameo roles.
Our boss.
But yeah, Dumb Money. A very quick turnaround on this. Something that happened 3 years ago during COVID. Every day, people flip the script on Wall Street. It's an annoying synopsis. And get rich by turning GameStop into one of the world's hottest companies. The middle of everything is Keith Gill, a regular guy who starts it all by sinking his life savings into the stock. When his social media posts, Reddit, YouTube, start blowing up, so do his life and the lives of everyone following him. As a stock tip becomes a movement, everyone gets wealthy until the billionaires fight back and both sides find their world turned upside down. Yes, true story. Dates back to very true story. I don't know if they changed much at all here, at least in terms of like the details of financial. I don't think they really could. It's like so recent. That is the thing about these recent biopics. But basically, hedge funds, investors, etc., they shorted the GameStop stock, among other things as well. AMC actually part of that movement, if you don't remember. And then people online, mainly in Wall Street Bets, this guy Keith Gill on YouTube, they kind of went against that movement, started betting on on GameStop, and then took a shitload of money from a lot of rich people. A lot of rich people lost a lot of money on how much GameStop made. And amidst all that, there was the Robinhood app where people were using to invest in the stock. That got shut down. Our boss, Dave Portnoy, in the movie, did not film it for the movie. They took it straight from him. I don't even think they asked for it, but that's a complete speculation.
Was that Dave?
Took the video.
Was that Bradley Cooper?
Oh, nice. Yes.
They swapped out. They did swap out Vlad, the guy who co-founded Robin Hood with Sebastian Stan, who was playing him in the movie. But yeah, then they shut that app down mid-training. It's a crazy story. Very interesting documentary exists, by the way. There is a documentary. I forget where it's streamed, but I watched it on a flight. Very interesting if you don't know the details of it or forget. Directed by Craig Gillespie, who very recently did the Cruella movie, but also did I, Tonya, Lars and the Real Girl. Dumb Money, it's got decent rating around Tomatoes, 84%. From critics, audiences seemed, I guess, to enjoy it a little bit as well. It's not fully wide yet. I thought it was fine. Like it's not The Big Short by any stretch of the imagination. It doesn't try to be The Big Short, but it definitely tries to have a more relatable vibe than be some sort of stuffy like finance movie, right? Like it's not trying to be like a
margin
true,
call.
Like,
yeah,
margin right, call. Margin call, or like, even like a social networky thing. It's definitely leaning more towards The Big Short, and they do a pretty good job at explaining things, though not in quite a nuanced way, but. It's fine. I don't know if it's a thing that might be better if they would have made it a few years from now, if they would have maybe fictionalized it. The thing that stuck up the most to me is, can you imagine watching this in 20 years or 25 years and people wearing masks and you may not really know COVID? That is such a weird thing that like the more we talk about events that happened during COVID and how they're translated into movies, like, is that going to be lost on people? Like, it's the thing that the immediate thing that popped in my head when you saw a couple of characters wearing masks. It's like, I wonder if, like, when you watch this 30 years, when you're sure you're like, if your kid watches the movie, it's like, why is he doing that? Like, I wonder if that's a thing that people contemplate keeping in a movie, taking out. I don't know. It's a kind of an irrelevant point, but just something that popped in my head. I thought this was absolutely fine. I don't think it's bad. I think it's funny in spots. I think it's definitely above average. I gave it a 79. I think it's solid acting, funny at times. I thought Pete Davidson is pretty funny, actually. Dumb Money, 79 out of 100.
Mm. Pete Davidson is kind of a surprise because based on the trailer, so I was like, oh, he's going to be the most insufferable character of all time. He actually, he was pretty measured, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's good dosage. I echo a lot of what you said. Where like, there is nothing that separates this from like the pack in a major way to like being, like you were saying, like a Big Short is like, I think as far as financial like crimes, whatever you want to say, like that sort of movie, like that's the gold standard. I don't think it's anywhere close to that, but for what it's supposed to be, which is like, this isn't really like the housing crisis. You know what I mean? It is more of like a mean, funny, like outlier, strange thing and not as like mega serious. So I think that they did a good job with that, sort of towing the line there, making sure that everything is digestible, which is something I say it like anytime I review a movie, like being able, especially with finance or anything complicated, you need it to be dumbed down enough where we can understand it without having to think too hard, especially with a movie that's a more of a comedy leaning. And I think they did a good job here. I really liked pretty much like every cast. I don't think there's a cast member here I was watching where I was like, oh, this guy's out of place. This guy shouldn't be playing this guy. This shouldn't here. I think they're all good. I think everyone was solid.
Yeah.
Jupsy was good. Not his best movie, I think, by any stretch. And you could go like literally any other movie he's had recently, I think I would say I like more. But it's fun. It's a solid time. A movie I would say, like, hey, you got a date you want to go watch this. You have a movie. Hey, you want to see a movie in a theater right now? Go see this. Don't go watch The Nun 2. Don't go watch almost anything else that's in the theater right now.
There really is nothing else.
Yeah. Definitely go watch this. You won't be like disappointed, but I don't think you're going to have your expectations exceeded at any point. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I also enjoyed how it could have felt like it was going to be longer while I was watching it. And I was like, oh, they wrapped it up nice. And you think it was too long?
I think it was. And it's my least favorite criticism about movies, but
it's 100 minutes.
I think this is like, it's really only 100. It felt about 30 minutes too long.
Oh, I was going to say, I think
definitely get into that and get more into cons. I think there's two big cons that stick out. One of them not fair, but yeah.
Yeah.
What would you rate it?
I'd be around like a 75.
Okay.
Like just dead even. Definitely buttered. Not nothing exceptional. Not putting salt on this, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm at, let's go 78, right in between you all. I'm in between that 75 to 80 area. It does feel like there was maybe a movie here that could have been better. It felt like it needed to be cleaned up a little bit more. And maybe that's just because the event was so recent that the dust hasn't been able to settle on this. And you're not really able to tell. It almost felt like you couldn't tell the complete story of it yet. I think there's too many characters. I think that was a big issue. But outside of that, yeah, no, it's fun. It's paced well enough. Like Ken Jack was saying, anytime you do any movie on like these complicated topics, or not even complicated, just stuff that people in the general public really aren't, you know, accustomed to, you have to be very careful in how you go about it and make sure that people understand. I do think they did that very well here. Paul Dano as a leading man, finally playing just not a weirdo. Like, it's kind of nice to see Paul Dano be like this endearing character, like
a normal,
very charismatic.
Dude,
yeah. Like, he played it well.
Yeah. Let's get into cons then. Pros. I think, oddly, I'm also going to bring up his role in cons as well, but let's bring it up in pros. Like, I do think, like, I was like, man, there's so many more things I could see him doing now. I know he's a great actor, but you're right. You're so, I guess, you're so trained to think of him in just these fucking weirdo roles, but there's so much more he can do.
Yeah. He's like charming. Like, he's just like, he's like a charming guy. Like, he's a guy in class that you maybe don't talk to very often, but every time you talk to him, you're like, I really like that guy. Like, that's, he's got that vibe to him.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's, it's funny. You can say a lot of pros and then also bring them up in cons. And I there's a couple things. I like that they hopped around with the characters. Like, I do like that. Like, I think that was needed. I think if you just focused on one the whole time, it might be tough to pull it off, because they definitely wanted to go for a funnier vibe, because I just don't think this could be like a Social Network-y, you know, focus just on Keith Gill. I mean, what he did was fascinating, but what he also did was he was sitting on YouTube the whole time. Like, it would have been a very tough thing to just truly follow him. I mean, again, it was during COVID. Again, if you watch a documentary, you'll see like they did a pretty good job at trying to spice it up a little bit, because it was definitely very interesting and it got heated. But also it's like The Big Short, a Social Network. They could have done an incredibly boring movie and they avoided doing that. But I like they kind of hopped around, gave some different perspectives on it. I think they could have even leaned a little more heavily into it too. Like, I went and saw it with someone who wasn't very aware of the story, and they said to me, they were like, I mean, I'll just, it's actually like, this is going to be a common thing. It's my girlfriend's grandmother. Oh, I'm just going to be going to movies every Friday with my girlfriend's grandmother. She bowed out on The Creator, by the way, though.
Oh, boo. She's not a real beater.
Sci-fi person.
Not a real beater.
I could tell, though, that she didn't get as much from the movie how much, like, people were pretty fucked over by the Robin Hood. Like, I think the Robin Hood thing could have been, like, maybe a little more intense. Like, it was insane what they did. Like, it was just crazy. Like, it was so corrupt. But again, I do like that they hopped around. Like, I think they did a good job at that, at kind of keeping you, like, it's kind of like hitting you with quick punches throughout the movie, because it really could have, this could have been fucking boring.
Slog.
Like, really, really fucking boring. So I think the structure, I think Gillespie's very good at that. Like, he is very good at, like, I know you said it was like, you felt it was a longer Gooch, but I think I'm with Kendrick. I felt pretty short, snappy. Like, he you never lose your attention, which I think is especially impressive. No. Something like this, right?
Yeah. No, it did never lose my attention.
Yeah, never bored. I would say that, like, it was also smart to attack this from multiple angles, because there are, like, we think about it from, like, our own personal angle, which is, like, I don't think any of us were invested in it. We were all just kind of, like, watching from the sidelines. So, like, that was our sort of view of it. But, like, seeing all the different sort of factors, instead of just being, like you're saying, like, just focusing on one person, whether it be the industry or whether it be him, like, just getting little bits of what everyone is going through throughout that whole process is kind of cool. Again, it's just, I don't know what it is. I don't know what the X factor would have been to bring this to that next level, but I don't even know if there needs to be that next level, because this wasn't, again, it's not meant to be like a big short. It's meant to be something like funnier, less serious. And that's just nothing wrong with that.
I think that's probably what would have taken it to the next level, is it's just be funnier, which is like a hard,
let's talk about the cons, because I think the pros are very simple. I think it's enjoyable, it's funny in spots, it's informative, it keeps you engaged. Like, I think the pros are very simple, but I think there's a couple things. You're right, it's like there's a few things. I actually think it's I like that they hopped around a bunch of people, but I also think there might have been too many people. I think you're right, it's like there's maybe a few too many. Did we need the college girls, right?
That's the one where I was like, this doesn't make sense. It's also felt very just wedged in there for like the weird part where she just has her hand down her pants and they're going through the Robin Hood. I'm like, what are we doing? What's going on here?
It's funny, because like, I also think if you had leaned heavier into the Robin Hood side of things and how people got fucked on it, yes, I think that many characters works. But I think it was kind of in this weird in between where you didn't lean heavily into it enough where it justified that many characters. I also think Paul Dano's character, I think it's, I don't think he was wasted, but it's also like, damn, he's so good. It's like this in the leading role. Like, I wish, like, I don't know. It's weird. Like, it never quite, it finds its lane, but I don't think it's the perfect lane, if that makes sense.
Yeah. One of the weird things about Paul Dano is like, it's very difficult for me to see him as not, oh, that's Paul Dano. You know what I mean? And like, it's not a knock on him for being a bad actor. He's a great actor, but it's just like, he's so specific in the type of roles that I think like we know him for as an audience. And so like, I don't think he needed to do more, but maybe like if you did do something to make sure that you like more solidify him as this different sort of person. And I think they did a good job. Like, I wasn't watching him thinking like, oh, that's the fucking Riddler or whatever, or that there will be blood or any of those things. Like, I was there, maybe just something, if you give it a little more personality would help be more helpful. I'm not sure.
I'm trying to think of other things that like maybe stuck out, because again, it was just like, it was all little things and all kind of little things that added up.
Minutia. How did we feel about the just the full blown meme montages throughout the movie? Because I did like that.
I think that adds context that's needed. And I actually was worried about like, man, how into the weeds can you get with like, again, I was just watching the documentary, if you don't know the story that well, and it really dives into like the memes and, you know, like the misspellings on Reddit and why things are a certain way. But I think they did a very good job here. It's kind of dipping back to like a pro of like peppering in so much of it that you kind of, even if you didn't understand it, you got the vibe. It's like this, it's this this internet camaraderie of just like phrase, like you would do with like your friends or something. Like, it just, it pushed through enough where I don't think you needed to fully understand like Reddit or TikTok or like those types of memes where you kind of understood what was happening. They did a good job on that.
And I thought they were funny too. And I thought they did a good job with it, but I was the only one in my theater. My theater is about 50% full. The only one in my theater laughing at those memes. Mm-hmm. So I was like, is this just not working?
Maybe they were on Wall Street. Maybe they were on Wall Street Bets and they knew it already.
No, so no. They were Melvin Capital employees. And they were like, why do we have to be the bad guys?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was very solid, very enjoyable, but just didn't find that extra level. And I also just, it's not even a con here. I think, like, is there even an extra level to hit? Like, did this need more time to marinate? Did they need to maybe, like, because it is pretty by the book accurate. Like, I mean, they go through, yep, like, maybe not like dialogue, but like the people involved, you know, what happens to people, like maybe it needed a little more time and they could have, you know, manipulated and changed it up a little bit. Like, there's a sentiment thing with when you edit and change what happens in real life. Like, obviously a lot of what happens in the social network didn't actually happen, but like those are things that are close to what happened or what would happen or fit along the personality traits of the people involved. Ironically, by the way, the Winklevoss twins are producers on this movie. But like, I do think this movie could have benefited from maybe a little more time and bending it a little bit, like bending it just a hair. But I think because it's been so recent, you kind of can't do that. Like you kind of need it to be more accurate. So it's that kind of do and don't where you're going to hop on the opportunity because like this got announced as people were trying to buy, you know, trying to hit buy on the Robinhood app. Like this shit was announced while it was happening.
I think they could have maybe, and I don't think people would have been too upset about it if they even hammered home just how fucking evil these like corporate guys were. Right. Like, I don't think that ending moment really hit home hard enough. Like I didn't leave the theater like super fucking, I wish I kind of had just leave the theater fucking depressed, feeling hopeless. Like, I think that's what they were going for and it didn't quite get there.
Yeah. It definitely maybe needed more of a crescendo, might be the wrong word, but just like a good.
Yeah. It's like, holy fuck.
A good moment.
Yes. You know? I think the speech at the end was supposed to be that moment, and it kind of was, but I think there's probably could have hammered it home just even a bit more. Like, like Jeff said, the Robin Hood stuff kind of was just glossed over, and I think that probably was the most criminal thing in the whole movie, the whole saga. Yeah.
Well, that's dumb money. I think definitely one of the better movies to come out in terms of being things based around the COVID times, that's for sure. Handled it pretty well and also in a funny manner. Will that age well? I don't know. But for now, I think pretty funny. Good, solid. I would definitely suggest people watch it, but doesn't quite hit the level of some of the better biopics, especially in this space of, you know, more, I guess, and I don't mean complicated as in like socially complicated, but complicated in terms of like literally money and stuff and tech. I'd suggest it, but nothing that I think is going to blow anyone truly away.
79 for me. 75.
78.
Wow. Pretty close on numbers there.
We score the movies the same exact way. You guys ever think about that?
It's well, people said, always say that they're like, you guys have such similar scores. It's like, I don't know. Okay, we have the same taste in movies.
I just changed my score to like a 40 and just make sure they're all different for everyone to feel better about it, I guess.
I'm giving it a 2 because Melvin is my dad.
Yeah. Okay, I'm giving it a 5 so that at Seppuku Goku will not yell at us on Twitter and be say our scores are too similar.
Are they still making more of these, week? By the way? Didn't they announce like 3 different dumb money like movies? Like
There was like I think maybe like a series. I don't know. It's fucking. They did the documentary again. I suggest watching it. It is pretty interesting if you don't know a ton about it. Even if you do, it's interesting. Next week we'll be doing The Creator, which I already have my tickets. I'm insanely excited for The Creator. The hype around The Creator is crazy. I hope it lives up to it. We don't see any. There's no like firm full reviews yet. Like the full review embargo has not lifted, but the shit people are saying about this movie is like crazy. So, I'm very gassed up to see it. A 2 hour and 13 minute long big like release is so rare. It's kind of crazy,
especially right now.
So we're doing The Creator next week. Make sure if you're watching, subscribe to the channel, like the video, and leave a comment below what you think about Dumb Money if you went and saw it. For Gooch and Kenjack, I'm Jeff DeLoe. We'll talk to you next time.
Have a good week at the box office, folks. We'll be right back.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode releases 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
Stella Blue Coffee's new can lattes are here. Crafted with 100% Colombian coffee, each can is a good source of protein and comes in two smooth flavors, espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. And whether you're braving your morning commute or chasing your pup, Stella Blue cans are for those always on the go and for those who care. Stella Blue is more than just great coffee. It's about giving back. I named the brand after my rescue dog, Stella, who inspired our mission to help more dogs find their forever homes. Every purchase supports animal rescue organizations, so when you drink Stella Blue, you're not just fueling your day, you're saving a dog's life. Try the new cans today, taste the difference, and make a difference. All new Stella Blue coffee can lattes now available at stellabluecoffee.com or subscribe on Amazon for 10% off.